We live by the faith of the Son of God.
Faith ensures productivity. That means every time we mix faith with the Word of God, we are productive.
The Word is the gospel.
That means the gospel was designed for your faith. The gospel, the Word of God, is the raw material for faith. The factory for the fabrication of faith is your spirit. The machine, Malakaya. The equipment for fabricating the faith is meditation.
You need to raise the level of your faith so you can raise the level of your productivity.
In my office, I couldn't. At a point, I screamed in the office, "Oh Lord, this is your power. This is the anointing of God's Spirit. Who wants it?" I think I laid hands on a few persons afterwards. Hallelujah. Part of the reason I want a bigger place for is so I can have one service where I can be teaching at least 90 minutes. At least, are you listening? The people you call the heroes of faith did not grow on 45 minutes messages. Go and ask them how they were having meetings in the 80s and how services were. And go and ask in America when the charismatic move blew out. Go and ask how they were having meeting. You know, in those days, when I read it in books, I used to be amazed. How could you have meeting for 3 weeks stretch? Morning, afternoon, evening. Morning, afternoon, evening. In the morning, in the afternoon, they teach. In the evening, miracle rallies, manifestations of the Spirit. If I sometimes they teach for the first, sometimes, watch, listen to this. Sometimes for the first 2 weeks, morning, afternoon, evening is teaching. They say the sick should just be coming and be hearing the word. We will not pray for the sick yet. And then the last week, you will see wonders. You will see wonders. Because it's in the Bible. Why Peter yet speak these words? The Holy Ghost embraced. It means to hug. The Greek word means to hug. He's saying, why Peter yet speak this word? The Holy Ghost hugged them that heard him. How long do you think he was sharing? He did it was 20 minutes. Look at the ministry of Paul. Paul was teaching until Eutychus fell. He raised him up and continued teaching until the day break. And then he continued his journey. They had meetings. They had meetings where they taught God's word for hours. Interrupted with praying. They would teach, they would pray, they would teach again, they would pray. This is how God is made real to a generation. Let me tell you something here. Joking will not make Christ loud to this generation. No. And you see, our responsibility is to make God so obvious until every other alternative becomes unnecessary. That's our assignment. In case you don't know, our assignment as a church is to make God so visible, so real, until every other alternative becomes unnecessary. Watching football on Sunday becomes extremely unnecessary. We have not watched it for the past 3 months. People have not died. But it is the assignment of the church to make Jesus so loud. You make him so loud until every other noise is drowned. Glory to God. And boy, that is work. Amen. And part of that is to have an assembly of believers who are addicted to God's word, who are addicted to the presence of God, who are addicted to prayer, not just individually, but in corporate meetings. You know that nothing spoils if service extends by another 1 hour. Nothing spoils. Nothing spoils. Of course, I understand that on Sunday morning, we make provisions for those who are new to the things of the Spirit to come around. But see, let me tell you something. There's something about an atmosphere that when people jump in and they truly experience God, they don't want to leave. So our assignment is to create that place where they can just enjoy and experience God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you here? Are you with me online? What of the school of Tyrannus in Acts 19? You notice that those things we saw as manifestations of the Spirit were offshoots of those extended periods of soaking. I mean, in the Bible says every day they were having daily meeting. And if you know Paul, he wasn't 2 hours. He wasn't 1 hour. Paul was a man of rev. You know rev? Revelations. The Bible said they taught every day. They were meeting every day. Every day. For the space of, is it 2 years now? For the space of 2 years. Every day. What was the consequence? In the city of Ephesus, so mightily grew the word of God have prevailed. Muskabalakaya. How? From a small meeting. It took them, when there was contention in the synagogue, he took them, okay, let's go to a neutral place. And then they began to soak every day for 2 years. For 2 years. In Ephesus, for 2 years. What happened? What happened? Because of that aggressive exposure to God's word, they became elders. I showed in the last year when I was teaching about spiritual growth. There were the novices that he met at Ephesus and asked them, do you believe what you received? Did you receive the Holy Ghost what you believe? They said, we didn't hear of the Holy Ghost. Unto what then were you baptized? They said, unto John's baptism. He said, there's something more. God then born again. God filled with the Holy Ghost. And then by the time he was leaving, in Acts 20, he was passing by. They were the presbytery. They became the elders. They were the episcopals. Thank you. They became the elders of the church in Ephesus. How could people become elders under 2 years? Aggressive exposure to God's word. So you can now see why people are Christian in the 21st century for 10 years and then you can't hand over responsibilities to them. They go to Europe, you tell them to start a cell, they cannot. They can't start a cell. But that's not God's idea. By God's standard, if you are raised in 3 years and you learn in the desert, you should be able to start a church. You don't need to be a preacher. You just need to be a Christian. There were the episcopals in Acts 20. The novices in Acts 19. Under 2 years, novices became episcopals. They became overseers of the church. How? Aggressive exposure to the ministry of the word. I said this in the first service, that spiritual growth is not negotiable as far as the destiny of a believer is concerned. The more you grow, the less you limit God. Are you listening to me? The more you grow, the less you limit God. The less you grow, the more you limit God. As far as eternal verities are concerned, as far as the manifestations of God's power, God's glory to a believer is concerned, is a limitation. So we said exposure, giving attention to the teaching of the word and giving attention to the trainings of the spirit, mostly in the platform of the local church, because there's teaching and there's training. As a teaching to communicate truth with power is important, but training is to impart a person with a skill, a behavior, a new personality through teaching, instructions, and practices. So when a church calls for prayer meeting, it's part of your training. But most Christians will dodge it. So they are just taught. They are not trained. Because that's practice now. They say we are praying all night on Friday. That's practice. That's training. That's training. Glory to God. That's training now. That's where you are developed and fabricated and forged as a true ambassador of the kingdom, as a true living witness of the Christos. This is why we can have a man who is a businessman, but when you look at him, you can't deny that the hand of the Lord is upon him. You appear in a meeting and people are afraid. Listen, let me tell you, one of the things the presence of God does for you, they call it a gahi. Marcos Keba, do you know what that means? Who understands what Egahi means in Idoma and Igala? You know Egahi. There's an ambience. There is a presence. There's an aura. There's a weight of your personality. And that same weight can rest on your words. Listen, never forget this as long as you live. Greatness is not measured by your title. Greatness is not measured by the position you occupy. Greatness is not measured by what you possess. Greatness is measured by the quality of your personality and the weight of your words. When you speak, our men know that a God has spoken. the quality, the excellence of your personality. The excellence of your personality. The excellence of your personality. And the weight of your words. Pilate wrote, you know, history shows that there's a document. If you ever get your hand on it, read it. Pilate wrote a letter to Caesar about Jesus. How many of you ever heard about it? He wrote a letter. He says, Caesar, oh King Caesar, he said, this man Jesus, I've met him. And he said, one of those days, not at this crucifixion, he said, one of those days when he met Jesus, he said, when I stood before him, I shook. He says, this Pilate writing about Jesus, he says, I shook. He said, no man ever spoke like this man. He said, no man ever carried such a presence like this man. He says, his knees quaked. His legs shook. He was the governor of Judea also. His legs shook. He said, when he stood before him, his legs shook. He was such a magnetic personality. And he told Caesar, I say, the religion this man starts, if he's qualified to be called a religion, whatever it's called, I fear he may replace Rome. And he did. The beauty of his presence. Why? What he carried. I don't know. Maybe for those who are profane, if you are spiritual, you enter the presence of some people you don't want to leave. You don't want to leave. Why? That quality of personality. Amen. How did I sojourn here? We should just freestyle, right? Glory to God. So training, teaching and training. Subject yourself to it. Because with who you are, you can have. There's so much noise about having. There's so much noise about chasing money. Chasing money is a mistake. Looking for money is a mistake. Money is not missing. Money measures value. When you rise in value, more money will come to measure you. Chasing money is a mistake. Looking for money, error, is not missing. Are you here? You see, there's a way you can be forged. You can be made. You can be trained. The world is ready to pay anything to have you. They are ready to pay anything to have you. But that comes through paying attention to teaching and the trainings of the Spirit. I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. I commend you to God. The book of means to deposit. He said, I deposit you to God and to the word of His grace. He means to deposit for the purpose of teaching and explanation. That's what that command means. I deposit you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. In the final analysis, the only thing that matters is what you have in your spirit. I'm telling the truth. What matters is what you have in your spirit. What have you stuffed into your spirit? What is your spirit man made of? What is your personality made of? What man have you become? What woman have you become? Aside that, you are trying to live from outside in and it doesn't work. I mean, it's automatic. That means you're part of the rat race already. Trying to live from outside in, you'll be frustrated. You'll be in competition. Comparison, fear, uncertainties, limitations. But when you vow that, look, there's a treasure in me, I'm going to press it out. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power, porabakapa, may be of God and of us. He said we have the treasure in us. There's a treasure. You vow to push it out. Hallelujah. You vow to push it out. The man, Jerry Seville, was spending 18 hours every day listening to God's word. You see, it doesn't matter who is laughing at you. It doesn't matter who is thinking you are not doing anything. In fact, it doesn't even matter what your brain is telling you. You stick with it, and time will show. Paul told Timothy, he said, keep yourself holy to these things. And you're profiting. There's no argument about profit or not. And you're profiting will appear to all. The Greek word is phanero. It means to be obvious. It means to spread abroad. That means it cannot be hidden. It cannot be hidden. Are you here? It cannot be hidden. All right, so we started sharing in the first service about the five critical engagements in difficult seasons. We say these five things will guarantee strange victories and unusual prosperity. And I told you not to relate to them like things you've known before. Amen. For those who are around, I said you cannot relate with these things as we share them. By the way, we're talking about flourishing in adversity. Has the series been a blessing to you? Five things to engage during adversity. Five critical engagements or activities during adversity. All right, you see, spiritual things yield maximally when there's understanding. That means every time you are listening, you must listen to understand. The hearing that produces faith is the hearing that brings understanding. Let me put it this way. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word hearing, that means to hear for the purpose of understanding. Until you understand what is being said, faith cannot be birthed. You cannot have persuasions. Understanding is very important. What the proverb says, he said, in all thy gettings, what? Get understanding. And you see, there's a word that goes with understanding. It's called humility. Until a man is humbled before God's word, he can really not have it. Let's say humility and hunger. Let me put it into humility and hunger. I'll still talk about them much later. Humility and hunger. When you humble yourself, you can receive the engrafted word. That means if, for example, you've been praying all your life, and I come today and I say we are talking about prayer. You know, there are Christians that will feel like, okay, I've been praying. I know about prayer. We are prayer warriors. I've been producing results by prayer. That is pride. The Bible says God resists the proud. He gives more grace to the humble. God hates it. Because as far as our journey in God is concerned, there will always be more light till eternity. Are we together? And there's something about prayer that you have not understood, that you understand as you humble yourself to listen. There's always something to learn. There's always something to understand. And the more you grow in understanding, the more you grow in results. They are connected. Go and read the parable of the sower. The results that was produced was connected to their level of understanding. Those who have understanding produce results. Part of the attribute of the good heart was understanding. And even with the good heart, they have different levels of results. The Bible says some were 30-fold. Come on, give it to me. The other 60 and 100. Why were they differentiated? Understanding. That means the man who produced a 30-fold result had a 30-fold dimension of understanding. The man who produced a 60-fold result had a 60-fold level of understanding. The man who produced a 100-fold result had the 100-fold level of understanding. So every time you hear God's word, hear to understand. Does he already know it? There must be humility. You must come like a child. You must come with hunger. You must come ready to listen. Praise God. So five critical things. Number one, rejoicing. Number two, hearing from heaven. Number three, sowing on the earth. Number four, prayer. Number five, prophecy. You know, in prayer, I told you to write something in bracket. What was it? Making rain. All right. Hallelujah. All right. So number one, rejoicing. Well, because of our time, I won't go through it. Just get the message from the first service. Okay. We said a whole lot of things, and I wanted to connect it to the second thing. We said, by the ordinance of divine wisdom, the first response in crisis, in adversity, is rejoicing. That is expressing joy. All right, I'm saying rejoicing can come on the wings of thanksgiving, on the wings of worship, on the wings of praise. Amen. I'm saying rejoicing has to be expressed through laughter, through dancing, through singing, through shouting. Hallelujah. And we had a wonderful time in the first service. If you're not around, I encourage you get the materials. Okay, they'll be online by evening tomorrow. Okay, the whole series will be online, at least till this Sunday. Will be around online by evening tomorrow. So download them and listen to them again and again and again. So we'll go to number two, hearing from heaven. Now it's connected to number one, because with the attitude of rejoicing, your ears are open to hear. Are you with me? Listen, it's impossible to hear from God when you are sad, troubled, unhappy, and angry at God. That's the fact. It's your right to hear Him, but it will be difficult for you to hear Him. God will speak, but you can't hear. Why? Your focus is wrong. Let's go to Isaiah. We're talking about hearing from heaven now. Let's go to Isaiah 30, 29 to 31. Isaiah 30. Listen, no man hears from God and sings in adversity. No man. No man. Write this down. No man hears from God and sings in adversity. You cannot sing when you hear from God. Sink. No man hears from God and sinks. That's to sink like a sheep sinks. You cannot hear from God and sink. It's not possible. The problem is most times believers are operating with general word. When you get into God's presence and you tune your mind to hear from heaven, customized words are going to come to you. The word for the now, special word that is fitted for your situation, is going to come to you. And that is very important. You know, I think last week I dabbled into it a little when we were discussing James chapter 1 verse 2. Verse 2 says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse tests. And he said, the trial of your faith, work in patience and all that. And then getting to verse 5, he says, if you lack wisdom, ask. And I told you the context of asking for wisdom there is in crisis time. It's when you are falling into diverse tests. Do you understand? That's the context for asking for wisdom. Because wisdom is your best friend in crisis. Things are not working the way you've planned, or you are faced with difficult situation, or you are in a season like this where the whole human race is faced with adversity. Wisdom is your friend. But listen, you have to rejoice first. Verse 2 comes before verse 5. It says, count it all joy. Then you ask for wisdom. Then you receive wisdom. He said, God is going to give it to you. Or is it joy first? And when you hear the voice of God, you can't sing. When you hear the voice of God, you can never be defeated. When God speaks to you, and that has to do with the word of God being quickened in your spirit. The word of God coming alive in your spirit. It doesn't have to do with hearing a voice loudly on the outside. My son, Joe, I am here. I'm here to help you. You know, for some Christians, if they don't hear God like that, it's as though they've not heard God. So they've been waiting to hear God for 20 years now. Brothers and sisters, that was Old Testament method. It still happens in the New Testament, but on some occasions. Maybe when God has tried to do everything and he can't get to you, he has to shout. So it's not an endorsement of your spirituality. In the Old Testament, they were dead spiritually, so God could not speak to their hearts. In the New Testament, we are alive to God. So the first place God speaks to us is where? Our heart. Someone says, okay, how do I differentiate when my heart is, God is talking to my heart, and when my mind is talking? It's not hard at all. Number one, there is a sense of life. When God speaks, God is a monarch. When he speaks, there's force and there's life. Number two is persistent. He cannot leave you. Are you listening? Number three, it agrees with the word of God. Number four, there'll be confirmations from the outside. The Bible says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, and with which he searches the inward parts of the belly. That means God is going to lead you through your spirit. Are you here? So light comes in. The word of God is quickened. You know that you know. You know in your Noah that this is God talking. You know in your Noah that this is God talking. He doesn't go at cross purposes with his will. No, he doesn't. And for those of you that want to use romantic relationship to verify the will of God, you're already lost. You say, you've never heard God before. Now that this guy has messed you up, I mean, this lady has messed you up, quote and unquote, I mean, you are in love. You don't want to pray. Lord, is this your will? You don't know how God speaks. You've not been taught. Your feelings will talk to you. Your feelings are saying, oh, my daughter, he's the one. Oh, my son, she's the one. You know, I'm a pastor and I have to use the example because it happens. So how does God speak to you? I don't really know. You don't know how God talks to you. And then this goes before you say, I think so. You know, I have peace about it. Ah, you know that thing. Peace. You have peace about it. You are in love. That's where the peace is coming from. You know, love causes this peace. You are in love. I just said that's where the peace is coming from. Well, when God speaks, he speaks actually. But it's not that peace that you are talking of in relationship. It's not that one. How did I get into this? Hallelujah. When you are in love, you have peace. It blows very cool. You're in love. I mean, they just drove you in the Mercedes and blow you AC and bought you shawarma. There's peace. There's peace, peace. There's shalom, shalom. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So somebody said, Pastor, so in a situation like that, what do I do? Confirmations. Okay, confirmations. And allow time and inertia be your ally. You know what that means? You keep praying. Listen, for starters, for beginners, one of the ways, in fact, you even carry it through as you sojourn, as you grow. One of the ways you know when God wants you to do something is when you subject it to praying in tongues. You are praying about it. If it's not God, your heart will separate from it. If it's God, the more you pray about it, the more attached. The more, do you understand? And that's very important. If it's not God's will, you pray. Someone say, how long should I pray? Pray until you know your Noah. Give it time. Give it time. All decisions in life are not the same. All mistakes in life are not the same. If I mistakenly left my car keys, okay, at home, or left maybe I forgot my car keys somewhere, that's a mistake. Or let me say my door keys, I left in the office and then I went home. That's a mistake, but that's a small mistake. There are capital mistakes. Who you marry is a capital decision. Are you listening? What you do with your life is a capital decision. Who is not, all decisions are not the same. I'm amazed how some believers make critical decisions laughing and soaking ice cream, sipping ice cream. Are you joking? No. Critical decision, no. Smiling, playing video games, watching movie and sipping ice cream. Typical critical decision. You don't do that. For critical decisions, you lock up. You lock up. What business should I do? What is my place in ministry? Who should I marry? Are you listening? You are in final year. You've not gotten a grasp. Your hands are not holding the pillars of your destiny. And you are sipping ice cream. They ask you, where's your life going? You say, I don't know. I'm not sure. I just love God. There's a place for that too. You see, but whether you like it or not, part of growth is that choices will meet you. You have to decide.
Yes, 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 yes. Yes.
Whether you are ready or not, it will come. Now you are finished school. What next? Are you listening? Now people are coming trying to marry you. What next? Are you listening? So whether you are ready or not, part of growth is that you have to make decisions. Because time is passing. Before you can say Jack Robinson, you'll be 40. You'll be 50. Those of you that are not 50 yet, you'll be 50. Some of you will be 60. Please sit down. Better go and marry. You're on your way to be 40. I just joke. I just said that somebody now. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, so you pray about it. So God speaks to you. Like you are just knowing. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Online guys, are you with me? So that's the truth. Whether you like it or not, time is passing and situation will come for you to make decision. Are we together? And they are capital decisions. That's what I'm saying. They are serious decisions. Listen, in difficult seasons, at critical times of adversity, decisions are important. Directions are important. This is why you must hear from heaven. So that you don't make decisions based on assumption. You don't run with general word. Are you listening? You don't run with general word. Hallelujah. All right, we need to read that Isaiah 30. Put it up. Isaiah 30, 29 to 31. 29 to 31, quickly. Now, and then it shows us the place, the posture of the heart to hear the voice of God. And it shows us that in crisis, in difficulty, the voice of God is your key to victory. Did you see that? He said, you shall have a song. Joy first. As in the night when the holy solemnity is kept. And gladness of heart. Can you see? Gladness of heart. You want to hear from God? Those two conditions must be met. As when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. Next verse. And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard. You shall have a song and gladness of heart. And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard. Now watch this. And shall show the lighting down of his arm. The lighting down of his arm. And the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of the devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstorm. And his God manifested. Next verse. Read the first line for me. One, two, go. For through the voice of the Lord ahead, shall the Assyrians be beaten down. Assyrians, there is the opposition. The difficult seasons. The challenges. The adversity. He said, through the voice of the Lord, shall the Assyrians be beaten down. Business is not moving. Go and hear the voice of God. Through that voice, the mountains will be beaten down. So this is a pattern. Every time you hear God's voice and he speaks to you, power is released for victory. He said, through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrians be beaten down. Power is released for victory. Hearing from heaven. Hearing from heaven. All right, your victory is in his voice. And by his voice, we mean the word of God made alive in your spirit. And listen to this, you are his sheep and his sheep hear his voice. It is your right to hear the voice of God. It's not the privilege. It is your right. The moment he made you his son, it became your right to hear his voice. Are you listening? We are the sheep of his pasture. So hearing the voice of God is not really, we teach people to discern, we don't really teach people how to hear the voice, really. Because in fellowship, you know the voice. For those of you who have children, your children know your voice. If you like, be at the gate, they know your voice. When your father speaks, see them. When your father speaks, they call their father custodian. When your father speaks, you know at from the gate. Some of you, when you hear the car horn, you know the horning of your father's car. And whatever is happening, you just need 5 minutes to arrange. 5 minutes. One day I was playing football outside. And then I just sighted. Either sighted or heard a voice. I took off. I think I was in primary six or so. Because I was told not to play football there. I took off. Praise God. What am I saying? You see, hearing the voice of your father is not difficult. So that religious barrier that says, okay, hearing God is just for pastors. Me, I don't hear God. Me, I don't know. Sometimes I dream, it come to pass. So that I don't even know. Does God speak to me in the dream? Keep quiet. God speaks to you through your heart first. That's first. Are you listening? First. And then if he shows you in a vision. Now, a dream is a valid way God speaks to you, but there will be a resonance in your heart. That means it's not every time that is yes. Amen. What if you have a bad dream? Must it come to pass? Glory to God. In your heart. And when you have dream, God speaks to me through dreams too. But it resonates in my heart. There's a confirmation. Do you understand? When you wake up, you are not confused. You know, okay, this is God I just spoke to you. That's something. There's a certainty in your heart. I am not okay. No. Praise God. So you are the sheep of his pasture, and his sheep hear his voice. John chapter 10, verse 27. He said, I know my sheep, and my sheep hear. Just put it up. Let's read it. Praise God forevermore. He's your right. Okay. He's your right to hear his voice and be confident about it. Amen. And over time, you have mastery over how God speaks to you. He's a mastery. And it depends on the stuff too. Praise God. When my left hand begins to burn, I know what it means. It burns like there's fire on it. Left hand burns. I know. We'll call that spiritual perception. That's another thing altogether. Let me not delve into it. He said, that's where you have, okay, dreams, visions, audible voice, prophetic patterns, and all that. Okay, but the simple way God speaks to you is by that inward voice, inward witness and inward voice. When you know your Noah, or when you hear in your inner man that this is what the Lord is saying. Apart from that, subject it. Listen, if I give you a prophecy, especially personal prophecy about major decision of your life, and it does not resonate in your heart, do not do it. Say, Pastor, let me wait until it resonates. In fact, I won't even tell you to do that. I will even tell you to do something that's not resonated in your heart. Are you listening? Especially when it has to do with major decisions. It has to rest in your heart. The same way. And of course, once that is settled, there are dimensions. For example, an associate pastor that God sends to labor with me, all he needs to know is to be sure that God has sent him to me. When God has, after he's sure of that, I send you to Abuja. You can't tell me that, okay, God has not laid in your heart. So you have to understand that. You are an associate pastor in a ministry, and God has already told you this is a man to work with. And it's okay, go to Port Harcourt and start a church. Okay, or go to Gombe and start a church. You can't say, okay, I need to hear God first. That's stupid. Amen. So that's not what I'm talking about. Maybe that word is for someone. Okay? When you are under authority, God can lead you through the voice of the person he has placed you under. So what you need is clarity about who he has placed you under. Once you are sure of that and you have given your life, you wherever you go, you are within the confines of that instruction. Do you understand that? You are within the confines of that instruction. And that's very important. It's a dimension of God's dealings with people. And you have to be sure to enter into that. And once you enter, there is a blessing for that. There is a serious blessing for that. When you lose your life in a vision. Amen. None of my pastors can tell me where I'll post them to. You can't. That means the day God told you, or the day your heart is assured that, look, I'm called to walk with this man, you lost your will. You can't say, I want to live in this city, I want to live, I can transfer at any time, I can move you anywhere. You can't, you don't have, your life is inside glory zone. Do you understand? Amen. And if you are marrying someone like that, you have to understand, you no longer have a dream of where to live. Somebody was dating someone, and the lady says it's her vision to live in London or in UK. I say, man of God, she's not your wife. I say, young man, that's not your wife. You are a minister, you're a pastor. Your wife cannot say, this is where I want to live. You have one master. His name is Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God. Eh? Go and do something else. If you are called to ministry, God can tell me to move. Are you listening? Listen, ministry and military go together. When was the last time a captain or a major or a colonel decided where you'll be posted to? Masuna Bakaya. Where your general say you are moved to Sambisa. There's no argument. You are in the force, sir. You understand what I'm talking about? There's no argument. There's no argument. So when I'm talking about the leading of, I don't know why I'm saying all this. Maybe God is answering somebody's question. There's a way where you hand over your life, and it is done. It is done as it is pleased. I don't know if you understand that. you are not. There's no calculation. There's no determine. For God's sake, you are dating a pastor, and then you are telling him where you want to live. That thing annoyed me. Didn't you know he was a pastor? I say, bam, the relationship has scattered. It cannot work. You have to say in UK. And by the way, you're a Christian, self. All this trying to live out your childhood dream. When you start following God, it doesn't work. Are you listening? And by the way, not just preachers. You can be a businessman who loves God. God can direct you. God can lead you. God says, okay, move to Port Harcourt. And then your wife is now saying, I love Joss. I say, how? From where? So you don't even need to be a pastor. There are levels of walk with God. Cabbage and carrot, sweet Irish potatoes are their gravies. Life is bigger than that. Praise God. Destiny matter is life and death. Are you with me? It's serious. Oh, hallelujah. Are you with me this morning? Have you noticed that our fathers, our patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were sojourners? They moved as God led them. They were sojourners. I'm not attached to anywhere. I'm a global citizen. Glory to God. We move as the commands. Can I get an amen? Remember Lot's wife. Those attachments. Remember Lot's wife. Those attachments to mundane things are not important. Live your life for Jesus. And some of you, when I say my pastors cannot decide where they are living, you go, what? What kind of life? Yes. When we get to heaven, they will have greater reward. Are you listening? You know, and I like to point people to natural examples. People live, work in the military on the earth, and they don't have a life. The moment you sign in the military, the government owns you. Are you aware? Is that so difficult to live the same for God? It's not. There's a natural parallel. If you are in the military, your life is of the government. They'll tell you, your family doesn't own you. Even your burial is the military that will do the burial for the person. Is that true? That's to show you that they own you alive or dead. So can ministry own you alive or dead? Are you listening? Can ministry own you alive or dead? Can your local church own you? Let me not get into that. In this place, there are people who told you you cannot serve now, wait till next year. And they waited. Some waited for 2 years. Some said, no, I need to finish. Why? All my mates are finished. You are a baby. Your mates, those that finished, have they gotten jobs? Are you using this advocate to go to heaven? Glory to God. There was a time your ATM was mine. I wasn't though. I don't know whether I was Reverend Kid, I was holding it. Praise God. We're having a meeting. You submit your ATM. Are you listening? So whatever is there will be rocked to zero. And you say, thank you, sir. Are you listening? God has refused it. Is that true? It's time we start teaching Christians these things, though. Because this privatized me and I and myself, my family, yes. That's the life for a small man. Did you hear what I say? Collected somebody's ATM. Amen. And then you run it down and give him back the ATM card. Say, may God bless you. He's not with... Is somebody here? You know, I told you about training. Training. You just receive it at that. While we're having a conference. Praise God. Hallelujah. No, the question you should ask yourself is, if you have given your whole life, what is now too big to give? I thought you said you're giving your life to Christ. What is now left to give? No, your life is a whole thing. So after giving your life, everything is inside your life. Is that true? Your car is not difficult to give. Your money is not difficult to give. Your time. It's not difficult. Your convenience is not difficult to give. You know, when I was coming to Joe, somebody told me, he said, you want to go and do social service with your life? He said, you want to start church? Abuja, you are in Abuja. Can't you start church? I don't know sinners to save. He was talking from the standpoint of the flesh. Listen, ministry is not an enterprise of the brain. You must be led by the Spirit. Are you here? Are you blessed?
Yes, yes, yes.
Are you blessed? You follow orders. You move as commanded. I looked at him, I laughed. Say, with all due respect, I know what I'm doing with my life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Hearing from heaven. Hearing from heaven. Take out time to hear from God. In those words are your victory. Take a retreat. Clear your mind. Debunk, switch off your phone. Hear from heaven. Don't operate with general word in crisis time. That's what I'm saying. Hear from heaven. Are we together? Hear from heaven. You want to make major decisions? Hear from heaven. No assumptions. Hear beyond every doubt. And tell God, Lord, give me confirmations. And they will come. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. And they will come. They will come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just speak in tongues right where you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we love you. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, we give you glory. Lord, we give you honor. We bless your holy name. We adore you. What a good and faithful God you are. We love you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. We adore you, Jesus. Thank you. Mako sala brundo sushte pora bakai. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The hand of the Lord is upon you. The hand of Jehovah is upon you. The breath of the Almighty is upon the work of your hands. In the name of Jesus. The lifting power of the Spirit. Speak in tongues, everyone. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues, right where you are. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. I can't hear you. The hand of the Lord strong on you. The lifting power of the Spirit is yours. Whatever is before you that you are trusting the Lord for in this season, I command answers for you. I command answers for you. I command answers from heaven for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever is before you, like a mountain, like a wall, Liga Boratosa, Shapato Latilas, Shapandikatos Kepaya, Shupatelotilakosa. They are taken out of your way. In the name of Jesus. The hand of the Lord is upon you for signs, for wonders, for victory, for testimonies. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. Thank you, blessed Father. Thank you, blessed Father. I give you praise. I give you glory. Just rise to your feet and lift your hands up. I want to bless you. The anointing is upon me. I want to bless you. Lakopa. Those of you online, just connect. Lift your hands. I want to bless you. In the overflows, outside. Mora kosesto brende keposa. Jeledogo brendo suste brunde kila koskapaya. Liga brunde suste pura diskele bonde sista. Jele kombrektos kila koska skila kombrektoska. Jeledogo mbrektos kila gabaska. Jele gons kila kombrektos kila. Jele kombrektos kila konsestepa. Ila goes separatus kila costa and to copra caposa and jele de capros caliga prune susta herbe caposa. As you enter into the month of June tomorrow, there shall be completions, there shall be completions, there shall be creations in the name of the Lord Jesus. Things will be created in your life, things will begin to emerge in your life. The things that were incomplete before will begin to get completed. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the hand of the Lord is upon you for signs, for wonders, for miracles. The lifting power of the Spirit is upon you. In the name of Jesus, you will collide with great opportunities. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you will collide with great opportunities. In the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus, help has come for you. Help has come for you. Help has come for you. I declare the opening of gates, the opening of doors for you in the name of Jesus. Doors of opportunities, doors of increase, doors of lifting, they are yours in the name of Jesus. Oh, I hear that in my spirit again. That which you are looking for, you have found. What you are looking for, you have found. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. I give you praise. I give you glory. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Give the Lord a shout. Is that the best you can do? Is that your best? Come on, come on, come on. Rejoice and celebrate. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Have you been blessed this morning? Have you been blessed? Those of you online, thanks for following our service. Hallelujah. Thanks for following our service. We appreciate you on MixLR, on YouTube, on Facebook. Amen. On Tuesday, we'll be here again at 5:30 p.m. Online, at 5:30. So remember to tune in. We're wrapping up a very important teaching series, okay, in our midweek at 5:30 on Tuesday, Faith for Financial Abundance. So I want you to connect. Okay, I want you to connect.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.